just each one progressively more stoned until I'm literally nonverbal.
Jack, they're all sort of gaps.
Probably one of the most versatile jobs I can probably throw myself in.
You're tuned in to Nonverbal, a Radio 1190 news team show about the parallel growth of pot and Colorado during the first 10 years of legal recreational cannabis. All right, now hold on, wait. We just had to keep talking about weed and its accoutrement. We totally forgot one of the biggest reasons why we have recreational cannabis. We're talking about medical marijuana and the mood change.
What drives legalization in most of the country is really not so much the science. It's more the change in political and social mood. People look at cannabis differently from the way they looked even only 20 years ago.
That was Dr. Piomelli. He's a cannabis researcher at the University of California, Irvine. Dr. Piomelli also spoke to me about the way THC works, giving context as to why it could be a medicine in the first place.
The way THC works is by hijacking the so-called cannabinoid receptors, which are part of the endocannabinoid system. So the endocannabinoid system is a signaling system in the body, not just the brain. It regulates all sorts of different things. In the brain, it regulates anxiety, it regulates pain. Outside the brain, it regulates, for example, liver function, fat tissue function. So it's a very pervasive signaling system.
What Dr. Piomelli was saying about the political mood was true. The political mood of marijuana in the United States has changed because of states like Hawaii and Colorado and California, who codified legal medicinal pot back in the early 2000s. In November of 2000, Colorado passed Amendment 20 in the state constitution, codifying medical marijuana and mandating things like the Medical Marijuana Registry Identification Card, or what we know as a med card. And, according to the National Library of Medicine, medical marijuana set a public health framework that allowed for legislators to have a greater context for how to safely allow for recreational marijuana. The cannabis landscape we know today, how growers are growing, glass shops are selling, and dispensaries are dispensing, would probably look different if it hadn't been for the initial experimentation that was medical marijuana when it was first legalized. A great spokesperson for that whole process is Sean Azzariti, the first person to purchase recreational marijuana in Colorado, and for that matter, the United States.
Now I get to use recreational cannabis to help alleviate my PTSD, and it's a stepping stone for other states to help other veterans as well.
Sean, being the first person in line, showed the world on a large scale that people weren't only buying legal pot for an easy way to get high legally. Marijuana functions as a plant medicine. That idea put it to scale that recreational sales don't equate to only stoners, but to people who use for medicinal purposes. Like Sean, who is trying to treat his post-traumatic stress.
He's been, you know, my doc, and I go there and he goes, "How you doing?" And I said, "You know, I'm doing okay, but I still need this stuff." And so he just renews my prescription.
That's Ben Cardamon. He's a veteran who's been living in the Boulder, Colorado area since he returned to the United States after he served in the Vietnam War. Even when he was in Vietnam, he's been consuming cannabis, taking it as a medicine in the same way he's been taking turmeric and ginkgo extract.
As I take it in my body, I know that it's my medicine, so I welcome it.
Yeah.
Even with the bitter flavor or the whatever flavor, it's doesn't turn me off, it turns me on.
Yeah.
I know that I'm putting something in my body that's going to totally take care of it. Awareness of plant medicine changed because Colorado and California were the two instrumental states that, you know, made it legal. How do you do it? You know, how do you grow it? You know, all that kind of stuff that we saw in an industry that we needed because plant medicine, quite honestly, is healthy.
Ben's saying that he saw, like Dr. Piomelli, that cannabis had an impact on plant medicine perceptions. Ben sought his medicine to be a more aware person, focusing on himself while he worked through his management of his post-traumatic stress, or PTS, that he brought back home from Vietnam.
You know, to shoot somebody, to be shot, to see you know, the horrific stuff that goes on in war.
Yeah.
So you come home with that baggage. So you're dealing with whatever you saw and whatever you did. It doesn't go away. It doesn't. It's not like you wake up one day and you go, oh, well, it's been a year now, so I can just let that go and I'll forget about it. You come home with that baggage, and how do you deal with it? And you're waking up in the middle of the night, soaking wet, with a, you know, having, you know, remembering something you did. And I just don't think that people that have never, you know, civilians, people that have never been in that kind of environment, how would they know? They don't know that.
No.
So people look for an answer. You know, they look for alcohol, they look for pills, they look for, I mean, everything. One of the things that I think about cannabis that we don't think about is that, you know, there's so much microdosing going on these days, you know, and all over the world. And realize that their awareness of who they are, you know, I mean, it just shifts everything. So I believe that cannabis does the same thing. It's that we just don't think of it. We think of it as more being stoned. I feel the same thing as microdosing as I do with cannabis, that it's a very awareness-opening product. You know, I'm a big yoga and meditator and that kind of stuff. So when I do take a hit, I still sit with it like I sit when I'm sitting in my meditation. I think that awareness of, you know, who are we and how do we fit in here? You know, if we look at it as being, you know, really part of the whole instead of being this separate thing that we think we are, it changes everything.
Unlike Sean Azzariti, who was getting weed recreationally to help with his PTS, Ben had some injuries that allowed him a medical marijuana prescription. But what Ben was saying helps us understand marijuana as a medicine of choice, as it's shown to be relatively effective and circumvents conventional drug use.
My neurologist went through a few different seizure meds, and after like 9 meds or something, they said, it's time to not try anything anymore. The chances of it working would be too low. So other than that, CBD is like a completely separate drugs, so at least I was able to look for some other healing process.
On that spectrum of use cases for medical marijuana, we also had the pleasure of speaking with Dylan Galefke. Dylan is someone who suffers from intense epileptic seizures. Going back to what Dr. Piamelli was saying earlier, the endocannabinoid system affects the whole body, and THC hijacks that system in the body, leading to effects that are not like other medicines. Dylan has seen how cannabis products have helped in a way where he could have been at a loss if he had gone down the path of traditional medicine for his ailment. Cannabis has been healing for Dylan in a handful of ways, though. It was the medicine that was there in his dire straits, and it's now grounded a part of his life. Though you think his situation would warrant it too, Dylan only recently got his med card, even though he's been having seizures and treating them with cannabis since he was 17. That half-in, half-out sentiment to medicinal cannabis being prescribed by doctors has started to become more pronounced.
But I think we need to have more doctors nationwide. I think that the regular neurologist should be able to talk about it, and you shouldn't have to go to a cannabis doctor specifically to find help, because many people just never look into it. For a lot of people, it could even stop. Like, there's been a few studies where they'll give some placebo patients just nothing and some patients CBD. 40% of them get seizure reduction, and like 5% it's completely stopped for in the study that I first saw when I was seeking out CBD.
Dylan's frustration could be found in what some of Ben and Dr. Piumelli were saying to me. There seems to be a trend since 2017 where regulated support is hitting a plateau, whether that be from the government or high-ranking personnel in the cannabis field. Stats from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment revealed that since 2017, the medical patients have been on a downward trend in Colorado, only marginally spiking up around the COVID-19 pandemic. For patients, it felt like there was a cap on resources allotted to a vital program.
My relationship with my neurologist is good, but she doesn't really care about the CBD much. She'll ask about it in my visits, but she won't really recommend anything or go in more in depth about my dosages or when I should take it or anything, since she probably doesn't know anything herself. With dispensaries, trying to find a place to get the CBD in the first place was really tough, actually. Like, there's plenty of medical marijuana dispensaries. Like, they'll ask what you want, but lots of it's just THC and stuff, and it's hard to get very specific dose CBDs. But I started to get CBD stuff from Unity Road on Pearl, and they've been great so far.
You know, I go to the dispensary I go to, is both Rec and Med, and I have my card, and so you can't find much Med anymore. And the Med that you find is not this, you know, you can almost get more Rec than you can Med. And so we've lost the focus on the medicine part of this product, and we're more into, you know, charging 25% tax on the Rec side, and so I think we've lost the medicine side of it, and we're into more of the money side of it.
In the world of cannabis as medicine, it's lost the original streak of zeal that it had through when it first became legal in Colorado. But this doesn't have to be a downward spiral. And of course, there's still hope for continued support for the program in the future. That hope comes from something that Dr. Piamelli described to me.
That their work was helpful to the lawmakers. I do know that lawmakers are concerned about the commercial, the fact that, you know, the manufacturers of cannabis, providers of cannabis products are increasingly investing in high potency, high THC content. And that is worrisome to many, including myself. And also, if there are populations that are at risk, in, you know, especially for non-medicinal use, that is where is, I think, the delays are more, can have more of a substantial impact.
Scientific work in the field of cannabis can be really touch and go. I even felt it myself when I was doing research for this episode. Because of the touch and go nature, it could really feel like the medicinal side is slogging behind in terms of understanding trends and enacting policies that could help people seeking cannabis for serious medicinal use. When buying weed recreationally, it might feel even odd nowadays to think about the medicinal side of things, but it's important to remember the history of how we got to this point of recreational sales in the first place. Remembering the history and tending to the roots of cannabis culture in Colorado is what's needed for the industry to not feel so run down. So call upon actors of change. Tell medicinal dispensaries what products you would like to see them carry. Write to your lawmakers about grants being given, and write to laboratories to understand the research that's being done. And make sure, most of all, to talk to media makers like us, who have a stake in the health of the cannabis industry, which all originally stems from the health of patients using cannabis. With that, thanks for tuning in to Season 1, Episode 3 of the Nonverbal Podcast. I've been your host, Jack Armstrong. Our fact checker and executive producer is Leon Spies. Our music composer is Roberto Esteban Vera. Our visual director is MJ Sykes. Special thanks to our assistant producers, Lily Wright and Josh Archie, for their work on today's show. And if you want to talk to media makers like us, how about you go ahead and give us an email? Reach out to me at news, that's N-E-W-S, dot radio 1190, that's R-A-D-I-O 1190, at gmail.com. You'll hear from us in the next couple weeks, speaking about cannabis tourism in the state of Colorado. Remember, keep from going. Nonverbal.